Live from the Civic Media Studios at WRCE in Richland Center, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Alba Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Alba.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide in the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Alba, along with our producer, the outstanding Mr. Aaron Zommers, back at the world headquarters high atop State Street off the Capitol Square. We are here live on location, as Terry Barr said. We appreciate that introduction at WRCE Studios in beautiful Southwest Wisconsin, Richland Center, on this Wednesday before Thanksgiving. And joining us is the station manager, longtime friend and colleague here at WRCE, Phil Nee. Phil, how the heck are you? Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving to you, Todd. Good to see you.
It is. It's good to be seen at my age, you know. It's just a Bill Burkett used to say.
Yeah, you're home for mom's good cooking and everything.
Yeah, go up to mom's. My sister is here. She's going to join us in a little bit later on this hour. So it's great to be here and be home for Thanksgiving. You, your lovely wife, June, and family, any big plans for Thanksgiving?
I'm just going 6 miles from here, going home. That's my travel over the river and through the woods for Thanksgiving.
So, now, do you guys host or do you go somewhere for Thanksgiving?
We're hosting, and I'm not sure. We have 3 children. I don't know if any of them are coming home. It just means leftovers for 3 weeks, but that's all right.
Whoever shows up, shows
up. Right, yeah.
Well, nothing wrong with that. It's great to have you here. And not only is it the day before Thanksgiving, but it turns out that this happens to be the 60th anniversary, and holy cow, time, where does time go? The 60th anniversary of the assassination of President Kennedy, JFK. In addition to all your responsibilities here, station manager, on-air DJ, sports guy, you have it's called The Morning Show with Phil Nee every morning from 9 until 10. People who don't live in Southwest Wisconsin can download the Civic Media app on your Apple or Android device. Scroll down to WRCO, Community and Country, and click on that. They can hear the show every morning, 9 to 10. It's always great. But tell folks what you did today, which I thought was just stellar and particularly well done.
Thank you. Well, the 60th anniversary, I talked to some people that were there when Senator Kennedy was campaigning through Wisconsin. He made numerous stops here in Southwest Wisconsin, as he did across the state. But I talked to a couple of people that had encounters or were there with him, and including one guy who just walked up to him and snapped a picture. He was standing outside a high school. He was, you know, and there was no Secret Service or anything. How times have changed.
Yeah.
And we also talked to author Doug Bradley. We talked about how the 60s changed and what might have been, because the assassination really forced people to kind of maybe question, not really trust government, which obviously is, you know, that's a legitimate thing. But I think, you know, maybe Vietnam wouldn't have escalated as much as it did. You know, that's things that we don't know. But those are some of the things we discovered. And we also talked to Rod Perry, longtime host at WRCO, who was working at the station that day. So that was fascinating stuff.
For those who listen to our show regularly, Jeff Perry, who is a regular contributor and on this show, he is Rod's son. He worked here with us as well for a time. And still, Jeff and I have kept in contact. Great guy. But Rod's a fantastic guy. Great broadcaster over the years as well.
Yes, and great memory too, and
talk
a little bit about what was going on. And you know, just like TV was scrambling, radio was scrambling, and WRCO is a member of the ABC network, which WRCE is currently, but they went to the live network feeds, and how the announcers were kind of stumbling around, just kind of trying to figure out what it was, because information moved a little slower in those days,
just a little bit, just a tad. With your permission, one of the people you had on was Gary Gukinik, a friend of both of us, and just a great guy. Was an educator for many years, a wrestling coach, great wrestling coach, but he's also just kind of a local historian. I think he does it as almost like a hobby. And you and I aren't quite old enough to have been alive when this happened, but Gary, and he said it himself, so I'll say, he just turned 70, so he was alive. And I thought this 7 minutes or so with Gary was just absolutely outstanding. And with your permission, I want to play this for our statewide audience to get a flavor of this day, and then we'll come back and talk about it.
Yeah, let it roll.
All right, here to Mr. Zommers, if you'd be so kind, here's Phil Nee on The Morning Show on WRCO FM 100.9, along with Gary Gukinik on the 60th anniversary of the assassination of JFK.
Our morning show continues on WRCO and WRCE. We're recalling the events of November 22nd, 1963, 60 years ago to the day. Joining me is Gary Gukinik. Now, contrary to popular belief, he is old enough to remember. that day.
He is.
So, Gary, paint the picture. What do you remember about, you know, when you first learned that President Kennedy had been shot at?
Well, first of all, I was in a fifth and sixth grade split classroom at the Avoca Grade School in Avoca, Wisconsin. And we had a teacher, first year teacher named Larry Beatty. And I remember it was a Friday. It was kind of a dismal Friday, if I remember right. And I remember getting a knock at the door, and our teacher went over to answer it. And there was a principal. Our principal was Wayne Stamm. He was, the elementary supervisor. And he was crying. He was weeping. And he told our teacher something that I thought, what could make our elementary supervisor cry? And then when he left, the elementary supervisor left, the teacher came back and told us that President Kennedy had been shot in Dallas. And almost immediately, we were put on a bus home. I remember our custodian and kind of jack of all trades at Avoca was a guy by the name of Roy Yansky. He got in the bus and took us home, and we turned on the TV, and the three major networks, ABC, NBC, CBS, only had accounts of for the next several days of the Kennedy assassination. And it was just all mind-blowing to know that I was witnessing history.
TV, Gary, was still kind of in its infancy, but I think TV really came of age because I think that's what everybody did. They turned to watch what was going on.
Well, I remember I used to like to watch the 20th Century with Walter Cronkite. And of course, he was a CBS newsman, and I guess coming from him saying that President Kennedy had been shot, he was kind of the person that everybody trusted back in those days. And when Walter Cronkite said something, people listened.
And speaking of weeping, that's a classic shot of him just kind of losing it out of character because he couldn't contain himself.
Yeah, and you knew that it was something really, really bad.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, we look back on that day. I know a lot of people remember where they were and everything, and you certainly have brought along some memorabilia here.
I did. Probably about, this is dated December 1963. It was a special edition of My Weekly Reader. And it says, we present this special issue as a tribute to John F. Kennedy, 35th President of the United States. On these pages, we reprint his inaugural address given at the Capitol on January 21st, 1961. And this is the one where he says, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country. So anyway, this was placed in as a weekly reader special, and I've been able to save it all these years. It's in perfect condition. And there's a picture of President Kennedy on the front of it.
I'm impressed, Gary. Only you would have your weekly reader from all those years.
Well, I think I remember my dad said, hold on to this. This is going to be a big deal someday.
Yeah, interesting. Now, speaking of which, Gary, you had a chance to see President Kennedy in person, didn't you?
I did. And you know what? It would have been probably the fall of 1960. The election was in 1960, and he was inaugurated in 61. He was down at Muscadet, rather. And my dad said, he said, we need to go down there because this is a presidential candidate that is going to be talking, and it's something that we should see. So I remember going down there, and it was crowded, and it was a big deal.
Whether you were Republican or Democrat at the time, it was just for somebody running for president to be in these parts. It was pretty big news.
I'm sure my parents probably voted Republican because we were from a pretty conservative family. But I think just the idea that somebody that was running for president, whether they voted for them or not, was in Muscadet. And my dad just thought it was important for his children to see this man.
He flew in, didn't he, in a helicopter?
As far as I remember, yeah. And people have varying memories of what happened that day, but it seems to me that he landed in a helicopter but outside of town, but I could be wrong, and I'm sure your listeners are going to call and correct me.
Well, he was in these parts. He stayed in Richland Center at the Park Hotel. He supposedly stayed in Boscobel for a night, so well-renowned. You know, you don't see that so much anymore by the candidates, and they travel with a lot more Secret Service and bodyguards, don't they?
They certainly do.
Yeah, because back then, I'm not sure that he traveled a lot of times by car. I'm not sure if he had anybody.
Yeah, I was just watching a special today about the guy that was one of the Secret Service guys that was on duty that day, and Kennedy wanted an open car to get as close as he could to the people. And, of course, the Secret Service thought that was just a nightmare, but it was something that President Kennedy wanted to do. He wanted to show that he was close to his people, and that was it made him a target.
Yeah, that was one of the things, too, in that Dallas. If you see the film, the streets weren't very wide that they were traveling down, and there were a lot of people, you know. So,
and I think the Daley Plaza, where they were going, that was kind of the end of the parade route anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where the assassination happened.
Right, exactly. So you remember those days like it was yesterday. 60 years have gone by.
I do. I'm 70 years old now. I feel every year of those 70 years. But November 22nd, 1963 will be etched in my mind forever, because it was just a day that I think not only the United States changed, but the world changed that day.
I think it did. And I think I saw somebody sum it up, and they said America really lost its innocence that day.
Yep. Yep. That was the age of Camelot. And it did.
Mm-hmm.
It really did. Everything changed after that. The Vietnam War escalated, and makes you wonder what would have happened.
You have a copy of the Green Bay Press Gazette.
Well, there's a story behind that too, Phil. We were great Green Bay Packer fans, and we actually subscribed to the Green Bay Press Gazette in Green Bay. And we always got it a day late, because obviously it couldn't come that day. And this is dated December 1st, 1963, 4 days in history, Green Bay Press Gazette. And it starts out on the front. The front headlines are President Kennedy assassinated. And it goes on to the inside, and it talks about how the nation and the world grieved for Kennedy, and they show the picture of President Johnson being sworn in on the plane with Jackie Kennedy by his side, President Johnson rather being sworn in. Then on the other side, they show Jackie Kennedy and her two children on the day of the funeral. There's a picture of Lee Harvey Oswald getting shot. And then on the last page, there's a picture of the funeral. So it was kind of meant to be a little memorial issue, or part of a memorial issue for the Green Bay Press Gazette. That it's just a little article at the bottom. It says, 20-year interval, presidents all died in office. Numerologists and perhaps some historians are able to warn against running for president in years which end with zero after the assassination Friday of President Kennedy. President Kennedy's death continued a coincidence that presidents elected at 20-year intervals in years ending in zero have died in office. The list, 1840, William Henry Harrison died in office. 1860, Abraham Lincoln assassinated. 1880, James Garfield assassinated. 1900, William McKinley assassinated.
That is Gary Gukinick with Phil Yee on the morning show at WRCO. We'll come back and talk to Phil about this great interview after this. Don't go anywhere on the Todd Allbowl Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Pursuing truth wherever it may lead and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Todd Allbowl Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. We are live on location at the studios of WRCE, AM 1450 and FM 107.7 here in the hometown of Richland Center, Wisconsin, joined by the station manager and host of the morning show, among many other things, WRCE, WRCO, Phil Nee. Phil had to cut the interview off with Gary just a little bit short there. He was giving some interesting history of all these presidents who were elected in odd or years that needed zero, ended up either dying or not being able to finish their term in office.
Right. And what's fascinating is you fast forward 20 years, Ronald Reagan, I mean, there was an attempt on his life, and obviously he survived it. But, you know, that was a close call, too, 20 years later.
It really was. Talking about the 60th anniversary of the assassination of President John Fitzgerald Kennedy, JFK. If you have a remembrance, if you were alive during that time or there's something that sticks out to you, we'd love to hear from you. 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. You could also text us on the Civic Media app. You can download it at your Apple or Android store. The Civic Media app, do it today. And again, give us a call if you have a remembrance of the 60th anniversary assassination of JFK. 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789.
1-800-967-2789. Phil, one of the things that Gary talked about on the show this morning with you was the fact that he had saved, and for many people, this is not going to ring a bell, but if you're of a certain age, you and I were both still getting this, you had something in school called the Weekly Reader.
Here it is for your viewers to see, but it's a copy of Gary's Weekly Reader from December of 1963. President Kennedy on the cover there. Yeah, we got it. I'm not old enough to remember this, but I remember all of the Apollo launches. They would, you know, document those in there and just being fascinated by the space travel and all of that stuff during that era. So I don't know when they stopped Weekly Readers. I think it went through, if you and your sister got them, it had to go through the 70s, probably into the 80s, right?
Yeah. I mean, I was in grade school in the 70s, and we got them. And I suppose now it's all, you know, on an iPad or something. I don't know.
Probably. we used to play a game called Newscope Quiz, which was, I think that was an offshoot of the Weekly Reader. But I was always killer in that because we always had the radio on at my place. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, I wouldn't want to listen to the news, but I had to because my parents always had the radio on. Right. So I was like a whiz. I'm like, well, that's, you know.
I think that's a fascinating point. And I know that Pam Yonke is now Midwest Farm Report, is now on WRCE in the morning here from 5 to 6 and across civic media. And you bring up a great point because your parents were farmers and my sister and I, our grandparents were dairy farmers. You always had the radio on in the barn or in the tractor and you always heard the news.
Regardless of where you were, we had it on the farm truck and on the in the barn, but that was your connection to the outside world. And then, you know, late at night, I would flip over to WLS out of Chicago, you know, and hear the tunes and hear the DJs there and hear about the big city. And just that fascinated me with radio. That's why I got into it. That's why I'm still in it after all these years.
Really, that's kind of your first remembrance of just kind of like at night tuning in some of those. Because people, explain to people who, again, who might just be used to getting everything on an app or whatever, explain kind of the concept of AM radio and why things travel at night.
Like, well, yeah, absolutely. The clear channel stations like WLS at that time, they could go across the country. A lot of the smaller stations, such as WRCO, it's the former WRCO, WRCE, had to reduce power at night from 1,000 watts to 250. So those small stations didn't get out very well at night, and that opened up the airwaves to the big stations from all over the country. Mm-hmm. In Canada, you know, I would hear a great rock song, and then all of a sudden it would be a French-speaking DJ because it was out of Canada. You know, I mean, it was just fascinating how you could connect with the world back then.
It's really great, and I know Rod Perry talked on the morning show this morning with you about some of that as well, that at the time, WRCO AM, now WRCE, signed off at, what is it, 10 o'clock at night, I think.
10 p.m., that's right. Yep, and then back in the old days, they actually had to rebuild the transmitter at night because those tubes would get so hot, you know, they'd have to replace the tubes and things like that before they would get back on the air in the morning. But that was fascinating stuff back then. But again, that was our connection to the world, was radio all the time.
Well, I think that's one of the fascinating concepts of our owner and CEO, Sage Weil. You know, one of the mottos is Hometown Radio Refreshed. I know I've heard him say it, that WRCO is the model of what he wants civic media to be across the state. Your morning show every morning again from 9 until 10 here at WRCO on the FM side, 100.9, is a great example of that because you're looking at something that was international, the Kennedy assassination, and you had on these local folks and you looked at it through that Wisconsin lens. I just love that.
Yeah, well, it was certainly a local story, but there were so many people that saw him, you know, face to face and personally. People were feeding me stories. Supposedly, there's a story that President Kennedy walked into a bar in Muscadet.
Really?
And he said, "Hi, I'm running for president. There's some old guys there playing cards." And one of the guys said, "President of what?" You know, he had no idea who he was.
Well, because they never think that anybody running for president of the United States would ever walk.
Exactly.
And for those that don't know, Muscadet is a little burg of, 1,000 people, maybe? About 12 miles south of Richland Center by the Wisconsin River in southwest Wisconsin. A little tiny burg.
Right, exactly. President Kennedy and Jackie and I think a couple of his sisters stayed at the Park Hotel in Richland Center when they were campaigning in the spring of 1960 and also stayed in Boscobel. And there have been some rumors over the years that John Jr. may have been conceived in Boscobel. There are people that actually counted back the days. I'm being serious. Again, these are some things that have been fed to me over the years.
If you spend any time in Boscobel, it's a very romantic place. It's the turkey capital of the world.
Right.
It is actually the turkey hunting capital of the world. And you know, you spend some time by the river and have some turkey, and it puts you in a certain mood. So I can understand that. Speaking of turkey, tomorrow's Thanksgiving, Phil, and of course on WRCO FM 100.9 and other stations across Civic Media, big game, the Packers taking on the Lions. Who do you like?
Well, the Packers have 16 players that are kind of dinged right now, and I'm not sure how many are going to play. Aaron Jones is the key one that evidently is not going to be playing on Thursday. He was injured Sunday. You got to like the Lions. But, you know, I go into these Packer games with very low expectations, and I have found that it kind of makes it enjoyable to watch because I don't really expect anything, and then all of a sudden it's like, hey.
That's the key to this show. Every day we go in with very low expectations, and it works out great. I'm hoping for the Packers. I want the Pack to get a win. But, you know, the main reason is our colleague Earl Ingram down in Waukesha, who is a Lions fan, God help him, he said he's going to dye his salt and pepper hair dark black if the Pack wins.
Really? Wow. Yeah,
he made a bet with Gilbert Brown this week of the Gravedigger.
That'll take about 20 years off him. He'll look a lot younger.
And he's a cool dude already. Earl was saying, "You're going to look like Rudy Giuliani." That's what Gilbert Brown said. It is also Axe Week. Very quickly, Phil, here before the break, Wisconsin plays Minnesota. You can hear that game on WRCE AM 1450 and FM 107.7, and across on the Civic Media app. For the Axe, who do you like?
Well, I think I'll take the Badgers, but you know, it's been 2 years that they haven't had the Axe, so it's about time to win it back. But
it's the Flicksters versus the Flexters.
Yes, that's what I've heard. I was a little concerned earlier, you know, it almost seemed like the Badgers had a lack of motivation, but I think a light bulb went on when they were down 14-0 against Nebraska. Hopefully that carries over.
And what about Fickle going for it on fourth down there.
Yeah, exactly. I mean,
that was an overtime.
Right.
That was fantastic. Yeah, all right, we're going to come back and talk more with Phil maybe for a second. My sister is here as well. It is Axe Week. We'll talk about the Badgers and more. Don't go anywhere. This is the Todd Allball Show live on location in Richland Center on the Civic Media Radio Network. Good afternoon. It is now 1:34 on the Civic Media Radio Network. Have a special breaking report coming across the Civic Media News Desk at this hour. We want to report to you that the Associated Press has announced a border crossing has been closed after a vehicle explosion on a bridge connecting New York and Canada. According to the Associated Press, a border crossing between the U.S. and Canada has been closed after a vehicle exploded at a checkpoint on a bridge near Niagara Falls. The FBI's field office in Buffalo, New York, said in a statement that it was investigating the explosion on the Rainbow Bridge, which connects the two countries across the Niagara River. Photos and videos taken by news organizations and posted on social media showed a security booth that had been singed by flames. Further information not immediately available. Governor Kathy Hochul has said that she is being briefed on the incident and was, quote, closely monitoring the situation. The Rainbow Bridge, according to the Associated Press, is one of four border crossings connecting Ontario to Western New York. The others are Lewiston, Whirlpool, and Peace Bridge. The Niagara Falls Bridge Commission reports all four crossings are closed at this hour. So again, breaking news, and we will continue to monitor this, not just here at Civic Media, but on all of our national news sources as well, be it CBS, ABC, or AP, depending upon your local Civic Media station. We'll stay on top of this. But again, the breaking news at this hour, a border crossing between the U.S. and Canada has been closed. That is the Rainbow Bridge after a vehicle exploded at a checkpoint at a bridge near Niagara Falls. We now know it is the Rainbow Bridge. All four bridges connecting Ontario to the U.S. at Niagara Falls are closed at this hour until more information is known. We will keep you abreast of the situation. Again, this has been a special report at the Civic Media News Desk. pursuing truth wherever it may lead and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Again, we will continue to monitor the situation in Niagara Falls. Certainly serious, but hopefully, as things come out, no one was severely injured or certainly killed in that situation. But we'll keep abreast of it. We are live here on location at Richland Center, WRCE in Richland Center, as a matter of fact. Joining me for a little bit longer here, our station manager and host of The Morning Show, host of Light Milk. What is it?
Light in the Milk House.
Oh, hang on. I got to turn your mic on. That's the first thing they teach you.
Light in the Milk House?
Thank you. I can't say that very well. Good thing I don't host the program. And also, those were the days every Saturday night on WRCO FM 100.9 as well.
Yeah, indeed. Enjoy that. That's my favorite time to be on the air.
I know it is. Yeah. Any big holiday, Thanksgiving?
Not really. We saluted the Rolling Stones here recently because 60 years as a band, that's pretty impressive.
Pretty impressive.
Yeah, and they're topical again because they have a new album, Hackney Diamonds, which is on the charts. And the Beatles have a single that is on the charts. You know, who knew that?
Oh, that's right. A brand new one.
60 years.
How is that doing, by the way?
I heard, you know, it's different sources, but I heard that it was in the top 10.
Was it really?
Yeah.
Well, good for them. I mean, Paul McCartney needs some more money.
But
it's pretty cool that happened.
Yes, it is. Absolutely. And a new generation. That's the one band that never seems to go out of style. I talked to different record store owners and things like that, but the Beatles still keep selling with new generations. Not all the groups do as well.
No, not at all. Also joining us here at our holiday festive table at WRCE, my little sister. She hasn't been on the show since the Rose Bowl on January 1st. Here she is dressed in her holiday flannel, Heather Allball Galloy. Heather, how the heck are you?
I'm doing great.
You got to get right up there and eat the microphone there.
Good to see you.
It's always good. You made your way down from beautiful Eau Claire, Chippewa Falls. Now we have a station up there, the tap up at Chippewa Falls. So
it's fantastic. Glad to have local stuff going on.
Yeah. How was the drive down from beautiful Eau Claire?
The drive was lovely. A little bit of traffic, right? The beginning of the holiday week going on here. But yeah, it's good.
Can you give us a live report on traffic between between Black River Falls, Osseo, down to Sparta on the interstate?
Yeah.
Traffic moving well?
The interstate was moving well. Actually, it got busier as we got closer to Viroqua. Kind of area. Yeah, busier.
Reporting live.
There was no turkey drop as far as I saw, though.
That is the all-time classic Thanksgiving episode, WKRP in Cincinnati's Thanksgiving episode.
The best.
I know this morning on As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bride, Jay Matner, and Greg Bach filling in for Kristen while she's on maternity leave. They talked, Jane, of course, a legend in Milwaukee radio, and she talked about that being one of her all-time classics as well.
The people that wrote WKRP in Cincinnati had been in radio, and supposedly that was based on a real event. And it wasn't exactly how it was.
WRCO?
But no, it happened like back in the 30s where they actually did try to drop live turkey.
Did they really?
Oh, my gosh.
We've talked over the years. I mean, our station here and you know, other stations we've worked, you know, it's not exactly like that. But what makes it funny, I think, a well-written show is that it's kind of an exaggerated version of things that actually do kind of happen in small market radio.
Indeed. And Heather remembers some of those days, those late nights we used to get in some trouble at the old building. And luckily the statute of limitations has worn off on some of those things.
Well, we used to come down and help out in those were the days on Saturday.
We did.
It was the best. Yeah, going in the record room and picking out all the records. That was the part.
There was actual vinyl, kids. You actually had to use vinyl those days.
We played
like library shelves of vinyl
records, and then you'd pull out a drawer and there was like 545s, the little records in each drawer. Cool stuff.
It was fantastic stuff. Before we let you go, Phil, I appreciate you spending this extra time with us. I know you got a lot to do in your plate, but we appreciate you. Again, the Battle for the Axe, Wisconsin takes on Minnesota on Saturday. You can hear, I believe, the kickoff is at 2:30 on WRCE, AM 1450, 107.7 here in Richland Center. You can also hear that game on WFHR up in Wisconsin Rapids, WLAK in Amory, and down in Racine, Kenosha on WRJN. And the great thing is, with Civic Media, download the app. If you don't live in one of these lovely towns and hear it over the air, you can still go to the app. We, of course, have a preference. Go down to WRCE, click on that, you can hear the game.
Right. It's so cool that the Badger Network lets us do that, mm-hmm. you know, lets us stream, because not all the networks do, obviously. In the pro sports, you can't. Yeah. So it's a good opportunity. And don't forget Badger men's basketball tonight. They're playing SMU in that Fort Myers shootout, too.
They beat, was it like 20-some points? They beat Virginia?
That was crazy. They couldn't miss. They got off to such a nice lead the other night against Virginia, and
that's the
held
team.
It.
That's the team I expected to. I've had a chance to see him a couple of times, thanks to my friend Jeff Daniels, who has season tickets, and he took pity on me and asked me to go to a couple of games. And there. I mean, we went to that Tennessee game, and Tennessee is a top 10 team, and Wisconsin played them right down to the wire.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So I think they have great potential this year.
Tennessee is like, they're really good. I mean, I was impressed by them too.
But so that's so that game is tonight then?
Yes, it is. Yeah. I believe pregame's at 6:30.
All right. Across the Badger Radio Network here on Civic Media or on the Civic Media app. So a big sports weekend.
It surely is. I probably need to get out of here because it's you know, the Todd and Heather show. It's kind of like Donnie and Marie. You know, are you guys going to sing a song or what?
No, I don't believe so.
It's a little bit
country
and you're a little bit rock and roll.
Well, Heather used to actually have a Donnie and Marie. Do you still have them?
I still have my Donnie and Marie Barbie dolls.
Wow.
And I've seen Donnie in concert 3 times.
Wow.
Which I'm really jealous of.
And I've met him once.
Wow.
Brought my Barbie doll with me, and he autographed it and told me behind the scenes information. If anyone else has a Donnie doll out there, there's a secret. The head doesn't fit exactly on the neck. The head is wider than the neck.
Who knew?
Here's the deal. Donnie explained, because he started laughing when I pulled it out, and he's like, you know what they did? They took a Ken doll and stuck my head on it, and that's as good as it got.
That is Barbie movie info.
That is.
You won't get anywhere else.
That is. I've interviewed him twice on the phone.
Have you really?
Oh, yeah, Donnie.
He's
and
a great guy.
Oh, very nice guy. Very nice.
Really?
Yeah. I think he's the real deal.
Well, you guys can have the rest of the show.
Donny Osmond talk.
It's Donny Osmond for the next 20 minutes here on Civic Media. But wouldn't it be great to have him on the show here?
Yeah, it could probably be done.
You guys have the contacts, make it happen.
It's all Phil.
He did tell me, though, that the Donny doll is worth more in the antique stores than Marie.
Really?
So maybe that's why.
I'd pay more for it.
Would you? Oh, I suppose you would. That's probably why, because there's some ladies out there that might find it out.
Right? She's all about it. Yeah. 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 There you go. All right. Well, happy Thanksgiving to you and your family, Phil.
Thank you. You too.
Thanks for taking this time with us. Thanks for keeping Hometown Radio alive out here in Southwest Wisconsin. And again, the beautiful thing is, if people want to listen to the morning show 9 to 10, those are the days on Saturday nights at 6 until midnight, or any other great programming, simply download the Civic Media app, go to WRCO Country and Community, and they can hear you each and every day.
A complete show about the Kennedy assassination is on, it's right now archived on the WRCO website, too.
Oh, nice.
So you can go listen to that in its entirety.
WRCO.com?
Right.
All right, sounds good. Phil, happy Thanksgiving.
Later, dudes.
All right, there he is, Mr. Phil Nee, our station manager and voice of WRCO out here in Southwest Wisconsin. Appreciate him taking the time and being with us. And now, once again, we're going to continue on my fabulous little sister here, Heather Albaugh-Galloy, on this Thanksgiving weekend. Glad to have you along. You and I know one of the former Badgers very, very well, our hometown hero here, Brady Ewing, former Wisconsin football player. He is on the show regularly. 3-time Big Ten champion, 3-time played in the Rose Bowl, was a captain of the Wisconsin Badger football team with Russell Wilson. I know you and I both love the photo of Brady holding the axe in one of the victories over the years.
That's my favorite. I love to post that, even though it's so long ago, right? But it's axe week, so
It's axe week.
You got to put it out there.
Which reminds me, I haven't actually posted that picture yet on my
social. Yeah, I haven't either. But
we want to. You understand?
Well, it's not Saturday yet.
I know. Well, I try to do it like it's Axe Week, so I try to post it early.
I understand that. I understand.
It's been a heck of a week. I'll be honest with you. There's a lot going on. You understand?
Yeah. It's a lot to maneuver.
I'm not complaining. I'm just saying there's a lot going on.
I believe you.
But we're here now.
We are here now.
And we're gonna hang out together at Mom's for the weekend and watch the Badger game on Saturday.
Yeah, fantastic. Can't wait.
Any big predictions? Could Wisconsin get this done?
I really want it to happen.
Does not sound positive.
Here's what I'm going to say. The last week's game, loved it.
It was great.
Right?
Yeah.
It really, in my opinion, it probably should not have needed to go to overtime.
All right.
I feel like they kind of fell off a little bit at the end of the game and kind of let that happen. Right. But they finished strong, right?
Yes,
so
yes.
I'll take it. I'll take it. But I still say there's a lot of growing to do with the Badgers.
Well, yeah, of course there is. I mean, I think that a lot of people, including myself, bought into the hype.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm not one to buy into hype.
Here's what I'm going to tell you. Marketing is like an addiction for both of us, right?
I know.
We really are bad, both of us,
we
at marketing.
We are really bad.
My own family, like, doesn't let me go into Walgreens by myself. Doesn't, when I go into Target, they walk behind me and, like, take things out of my hand. I'm a big, you know how marketing works.
I know. I mean, our mutual friend, Alex Henvey, by the way, happy birthday, or happy Thanksgiving, Alex, and yeah. Kristen down in Dallas. Of course, Alex, a big Cowboys fan. Cowboys,
sadly.
Cowboys are playing on Thanksgiving as well. But Alex and I were roommates for a while, and he used to say, you know, and I'll clean it up for radio because he's a Texan. But Alex used to say, you know, you're in that business. You understand marketing. I never seen a son of a gun so susceptible to marketing in all my life.
I don't know why. Why is it mom that always says Grandma Allball was the same way?
A little bit.
Was it Grandma Allball's influence? Maybe. I don't know.
But we love marketing and we're susceptible to it. And so I bought into all
And it works. When it works, it works.
It works. And so I bought it and I thought, well, the Badgers are going to be, you know, playing for a national, I didn't really think national championship, but I certainly thought they'd be playing in Indianapolis for a Big Ten championship.
I did too.
I think it's just going to take longer than people expected. I still think that Luke Fickell's the right guy, but I think it's just going to take longer than expected.
Agreed.
So you just got to be patient.
I'm not good at being patient, but I'll say I will be.
At least PJ Fleck is not our coach. Back with more. We'll wrap things up from WRCE on a Thanksgiving special on the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. The Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. We are live on location at WRCE in Southwest Wisconsin, Richland Center. As a matter of fact, it is 10 now before the hour of 2 o'clock. That is 10 minutes away from the top of the hour broadcast on our national news. We will update you at the top of the hour on that explosion out in Niagara Falls at one of the border crossings between Ontario and the United States. Our Civic Media's Chris Casper updating us. He's been monitoring the situation. Reports are, so far, early indications are that it is not a terrorist attack, but our national networks will update us on what's happening in Niagara Falls at the top of the hour. And then after that, our friend and colleague Matt Flynn of Matt Flynn Direct will step in for a pre-Thanksgiving show. Remember, history happening every moment of every day, and Matt Flynn will take you to the front lines of history being made. It's Matt Flynn Direct coming up after the news at the top of the hour. Right now, I've welcomed my little sister, Heather Allball-Galloy, into the show. Been a while since we had you on the show. Happy to be here. How do you like the official? For those watching on the stream, we have a little, I wanted it to feel like, you know, Al Roker and Hoda at the Thanksgiving parade.
It looks lovely.
Thank you.
The spread is lovely. It is a little reminiscent of parade regalia,
right?
And
I only wish we were broadcasting the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade.
All that we really need for it to feel like the parade is you need to be wearing like a black wool pea coat and have a nice festive scarf on,
right?
Some gloves. Uh-huh. Yeah. True.
Good morning, everybody. Happy Thanksgiving. Welcome to the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. Heather, going to be a lovely day.
It is going to be a lovely day, Todd. And did you know that there are local musicians playing in the Macy's Day Parade? And that's in all seriousness, actually.
Really? I think there is a Wisconsin band.
Well, Eau Claire Memorial High School has 5 students.
Get out.
Performing in the Macy's Day Parade.
Really?
And there are 4 seniors, and there is a freshman who auditioned and made it into that. Has never happened before.
Wow.
So that's pretty impressive.
Well, congratulations to all of our listeners up at WCFW, the TAP, up at Eau Claire, Chippewa Falls. So we have five local students from the Chippewa Falls, Eau Claire area going to be marching in the Macy's Parade tomorrow.
They will.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
See,
isn't
look at
that great?
She's a wealth of information, ladies and gentlemen. She brings something to the show. We love it.
It's a good thing.
It is a good thing.
Yeah.
Just like Martha Stewart. By the way, do you know she's done with Thanksgiving?
I heard that. She's turkeyed out.
She's turkeyed.
Tapping out.
She's turkeyed out. I want to take, speaking of turkey, though, this is a great Thanksgiving Day tradition. And, of course, John Madden is retired from broadcasting. But when he was on the air, every Thanksgiving Day NFL game, he would have the turducken. And he'd talk about the turducken. I never had turducken.
No,
I never had, but it's fantastic. So we've dialed up a little bit of this from is a compilation of from CBS and Fox and ABC and maybe NBC too, all the stations he worked on. But here now, a couple of clips from John Madden back in the day talking about the turducken, a Thanksgiving tradition in the NFL.
Celebration coming up on the Madden Cruiser.
Well, you know, we had one before the game out there. We had one turkey that we got. There's Willie, our driver, Dave, other driver, and there's a turkey. And if you notice, you know, like the girl says, here's a leg here and a leg here and a leg here. There's four legs. And I think this one may have, you know, a couple down there too. But we have these turkey legs that we're going to give out after the game.
Little piece of pie gone already.
Right there, well, you never know. I don't know who's in that bus when I'm up here. I don't know who's down there. But I know that six-legged turkey's there, and we're going to have those six legs to give out to the MVPs of this game.
But we got a turducken, right?
Yeah. This is a turducken right here where we got, you know what a turducken is? A turducken, this thing here, is a deboned duck stuffed in a deboned chicken. Stuffed in a deboned turkey, cut sideways, and you get a little turkey and a little chicken and a little duck. Now that's there. That's turducken. Then over there we have the turkey. See, now here's the turkey. We got one leg, two legs, three legs, four legs, five legs, six legs. But anyway, here's how you slice.
That's good, Mr. Thomas. Thank you. Appreciate that. A couple of different broadcasts there of John Madden, the absolute fantastic John Madden, talking about on the Telestrator all these the turducken stuff.
The Telestrator is definitely the best part. We couldn't show you the visual over the radio, of course, but you get the little yellow circles around, like, you got a leg here, you got a leg there, you got a leg over here, and then little arrows pointing down. It looks like you have two more over there.
And I know, I think on Fox, they still keep the tradition going and give out the turkey legs after the game. So I think the Packers on television wise, I think they're CBS, but don't quote me on that. So we'll see if, of course, Tony Romo from Burlington, Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Our friend Troy Everson taught Tony Romo.
Right. Didn't he have him on Steady Hall or something?
And when he played for the Cowboys, you know, I wanted to beat the Cowboys, but Troy tells me that he was just one of the nicest, best students he ever had.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
Tony Romo.
Yeah, so. Another Cowboy, Frederick, played for the Badgers, right?
Well, and Barry also Alvarez's grandson plays currently one of the best receivers for the Cowboys.
I know.
Heather's not buying the Cowboys.
I know.
But yeah. I think they're going to win this weekend.
I think they will.
Yeah. Alex will be very happy.
Alex will be happy. We'll be happy for Alex.
We will.
And I'll toast an onion ring to him.
That's right. Our friend Alex Henvey, he's got a great onion company down in Dallas. They supply Culver's with all the great onion rings.
I know. And I say it every time I eat one.
Yeah. No, you can't beat a Culver's onion ring.
They're awful good.
There's nothing bad at Culver's.
No, hard to beat it.
Hard to beat. Can't beat it with a spoon. See, right now you're getting an insight into what our Thanksgiving table is like.
A whole lot of nothing. Right? That's what it is.
It's like Seinfeld. It's a holiday about nothing.
A little bit.
Well, I'm happy for you. I'm happy you're here. It's going to be great spending time with you, Mr. Zomers. I know you're going back to a Manitowoc. Is that right?
Yeah, going to spend some time with my family. It'll probably be also a lot about nothing. And that's okay.
But that's what you need.
Absolutely.
I encourage people to take a minute with all the festivities and just be thankful, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not Friday, so, you know, but.
But I think about all our Thanksgivings growing up at both of our grandparents' houses, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, all of the family and the gathering and the food and the games and, you know. sleeping under the dining room table.
Building a fort. Yeah. And if you're not fortunate enough to have family and friends to hang out with, we're going to be with you in spirit tomorrow. We have a couple of special broadcasts. We have Broadcast Leftovers. You're not going to want to miss this.
I love it.
It's about a Segway and a guy driving off a cliff with a Segway.
That was a great story, by the way.
Well, thank you.
Heather actually got to listen to it live the first time.
It's something that was only on the stream, and tomorrow we're going to play it for you over the air, and then a Black Friday special on Friday as well. We'll be back with a live show on Monday. Heather, thank you so much. Appreciate you. Love you.
You're welcome. Love you, too. Happy Thanksgiving, Aaron.
Mr. Zomers, happy Thanksgiving. Yeah. We appreciate Phil Nee for being here as well. Trigvi Olsen and Pat Kreitlow for all of us. Happy Thanksgiving. Many blessings. We'll see you back live on Monday. Until then, keep banging your drum. Matt Flynn's next.